it's another side that like wants to take more, wants to go that one more round. Because like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another episode of One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. This is a season, well, I guess this is season two, Rocky 2 coverage, episode 12. And we'd like to welcome everyone who happens to be joining us live, as we're live right now. We're down a host. Kyle is coming. He's hard restarting his computer. He says he's going to join us. Apparently, his computer is overloaded with adult viruses. I'm not sure what he meant by that, but he's saying all these adult viruses have attacked his computer. Katie, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited. I think we're live on a couple places right now. So I think what I'm doing is I'm going to go live like on Facebook and Twitter. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to engage your audience. I want comments to come in while we're live because it engages our audience. So you can join our StreamYard link. So again, join our Discord, join our, all of our socials, because what I do is I post that we're about to go live on these, and then you can join the StreamYard, join the Twitch, join the YouTube, join whatever. And then the conversation, you can join us live and add to the conversation. But what I'm getting at is after we go live, I'm going to delete the videos that are on our Facebook and on Twitter, and it will go away to the public. And the only people that get the live broadcast, unedited and all that good stuff will be patrons, if that makes sense.
So
I want to keep it open for the initial recording to engage any audience members that might be awake on a Sunday morning or whatever. If nobody joins us live and comments, that's fine. The show will go on. I'm just trying to make it more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
And send us emails, join the Patreon, check out the show notes for the Patreon. What does the Patreon give you? Well, it gives you these live discussions, unedited, basically a week early. You get to watch the video before it gets chopped up for audio and better YouTube quality. Because yes, I do, what I usually edit out are the ums and ahs and jokes that don't land, anything that might get me in trouble with my job, you know, those kind of things, right? So, okay, we have an email though. So speaking of emails, we got a long one. It's a big one, but this is from a long time, well, a newish long time listener, somebody who joined the show late and they caught up on every episode. And so, you know, he's catching up with a big email. This is his first email that he's caught up type email, I think.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. The title is Rocky Alternative Timelines and Backstory. Hey all, so finally, after about 9 months of listening pretty much every day, I'm finally happy to say that I'm finally up to date with Going the Distance and One More Round. It's been an excellent journey so far, and I'm really looking forward to going the distance with you guys, even though the downside is that I can no longer listen to episode after episode. I'll have to wait, like most other people, for your bi-weekly episodes.
That's true. When you catch up, you got to wait.
Mm-hmm. No more binging. The one upside is that I now feel I can send emails that are up to date and have more of an interaction instead of waiting until I caught up to hear them.
If you can join us live, that's even better. Yeah,
I think he's like far away though, like the time zone.
The time zone might be an issue. Yeah. He's from Australia. Yeah.
Through listening to your episodes, I have heard you all touch base on some of the Rocky characters' backstories. For example, how Apollo met Tony. Now, the thing I find interesting is as a younger lad, I used to play a lot of PlayStation 2, and one of my favorite games to play at the time was none other than a boxing game called Rocky Legends that was released in 2004. It was a licensed Rocky boxing video game that followed the story of the movies, where you could choose either four of the main boxers from the films, Rocky, Apollo, Clubber, and Drago, and play through the Rocky storyline. I'm not sure if any of you've played or heard of it, and I'm pretty sure that most stories in the game aren't considered canon, but I thought it would be interesting to bring up what happens to the other three fighters' storylines before and after, and in an alternative timeline. Have you heard of this game, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. I've never played it, funny enough. I think just when it came out, I was too busy being an adult. Because I still play video games. I love them. And he said it came out in 2004. before. So I think it did come out before Rocky Balboa, the film, the sixth film.
Yep.
I did go on YouTube and watch some of these storylines that he's about to get into. It is along your email, but I think it's going to make for fun discussion for our listeners, because people who haven't played the video game, the storylines for each character is quite interesting. And whoever wrote this video game, I might actually reach out to the writers of the video game. It'd be kind of cool to talk to them, because their storylines are kind of legit. Let's read what he
has. Yeah, he says it's licensed too. Okay, so I've not heard of it, but he says in the video game, if you choose to play the storyline with Apollo Creed, it shows you a cutscene of a much younger Apollo getting ready for a boxing match against Tony Duke in the final of the National Amateur Boxing Championship. As the player, you beat Duke, and Apollo approaches him after the fight and tells Duke he's turning pro next month. Duke then tells Apollo he's retiring to focus on coaching and accepts Apollo's invitation to be his trainer and manager. Apollo's storyline continues as he rises up the heavyweight ranks and claims the heavyweight title. Apollo's story finishes as he beats Rocky convincingly at the end of the first film and boasts about how he's the greatest of all time. I found this interesting as it gives a pretty cool take on how Apollo and Duke met.
Kyle just joined the chat. What we're reading is we're reading an email from Rob. He joined us 9 months ago. He listened to every episode of every Rocky episode we've done. He's finally caught up. He sent us an email about a video game called Rocky Legends.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're familiar with it? Okay, so he's talking about the backstories. That's what we're getting into right now, the backstories of the other fighters.
This is a really cool one. So basically, Apollo and Tony had a fight.
Before Apollo went pro. That tracks. I mean, we had kind of talked that he probably would have been a teenager, you know, when he and Tony met. So that he could have been a
18, 19 year old fighter. Yeah. Young fighter, like a Mike Tyson type fighter, you know, young age and then beats. Yeah, that's cool. Next one that you're about to read on Clubber. I feel like this one's almost canon. I feel like Sly has spoken to this. That's why it might be in the video game. Go ahead and read a Clubber story.
If you choose to play as James Clubber Lang, it shows a cutscene of Clubber in prison arguing with another inmate who he then fights in a prison ring and destroys him. After the fight, Clubber is released from prison because his incarceration is complete. And he goes on his title run in the Rocky III timeline, training himself to challenge in the heavyweight division. Interestingly, he fights Union Kane, who is the number one ranked fighter behind the champion.
Yeah, that's weird.
Who is at the time, of course, Rocky.
In the Rocky III Clubber montage, it shows Clubber knock out the number one contender. And that's when he's yelling to Mickey in the crowd, because Mickey's at ringside watching it. And the number one contender is clearly like this white guy. It's obviously not Union Kane.
Union Candy Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'm number one. I'm the best. I'm coming for Balboa. Tell him that. Whoever did that on the video game, it's not familiar enough with the movies. Union Kane was top contender many years later. Regardless of what timeline you use, and there are many, I'm still working on my timeline analysis, but basically Rocky V took place anywhere between... Rocky V is either 1990 or 1990 or 1985.
This video game version is just going to ever complicate the matter. Yeah.
It's not officially canon, but it is licensed. So it's tricky. You're right.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah. We were in Clubber. He says, after beating Kane, he calls out Rocky, who he beats to become heavyweight champion of the world, which is where Clubber's story ends in the game. This storyline was interesting as it shows Clubber as a jailbird, talking smack and putting a beating on prisoners before he became a professional boxer. Now, does this sound familiar?
I don't know if it's the video game that carried this lore, but I feel like I've heard the lore that James Clubber Lang was in prison. I don't know if we've talked about this. We'll get to maybe with season three, of course, when we cover Rocky III. But Clubber, that might have been Sly when he named him Clubber, was the fact that Mr. T worked bodyguards and stuff or as a bouncer at clubs. I think that might be.
Oh.
I always thought of like clubbing, someone like with beating, a club.
Beating, yeah.
It does also mean like a beat down. Yes. But also that being a bouncer at clubs too, maybe. I don't know.
Mr. T was Joe Frazier's bodyguard at one point.
Oh, that's cool. It was similar to Dame. Dame and Clubber are similar. Creed III.
The guy who played, or Mr. T, grew up in like the projects in Chicago and always talks about the worst beatings he ever got was as a kid in the projects in Chicago. Any beating he got from filming Rocky III was just like nothing. Oh, but the Clubber character is from Chicago also.
Nice.
And it's, I like that when they, they try and – you might as well put him from Chicago, right? But I like it when they put details like that. It's kind of true to life for the different characters. Learning to box in prison is not unrealistic either.
No.
Lots of people have come up boxing in prison. I'm pretty sure Sonny Liston I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure he learned to box in jail.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's where Sly took some real life stuff and put in the Rocky films.
Yeah, imagine that. So then the last one is the Ivan Drago storyline in the game is fascinating, as it shows a young Ivan Drago in an army uniform being referred to as Private Drago, fighting another Russian army member in a barn in Russia. I would like to be there for that. A cutscene appears after his victory, and we see Drago being picked by Russians to become their new poster boy for boxing, taking him under their tutelage, and shows us his rise to glory and fame in Russia. You play as Drago climbs up through the ranks, destroying every fighter he faces. Then the Rocky IV storyline kicks in, and you face Apollo in the ring and kill him just like the movies. Drago's final fight in this
story. I love how Apollo dies in the video game. Like, I don't want to see that cutscene.
Drago's final fight in this storyline is his fight against Rocky in Russia, which he wins, and his story ends. Which Rocky wins. Right. I was just going to say, does the video game have which Rocky wins? And his story ends with Drago being awarded a medal by the Soviets after the fight.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, this was written well before Creed 2. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we all know how Rocky's story goes, as you start from humble beginnings as a club fighter, and it takes you all the way through until you have to beat Tommy Gunn in a street fight in the end of Rocky 5.
Oh, so Tommy Gunn is, he's in the video game. That's pretty cool. Actually, I want to get these cut screens together. This is hilarious. I bet you there already is a whole, like, cut screen montage of the whole game on YouTube. But
well, he's got some pictures. The remainder of the email says, we all know how Rocky's story goes, as you start from humble beginnings as a club fighter, and it takes you all the way through to beat Tommy Gunn in the street fight to end Rocky V. I've added some screenshots of the game at the end of the email for some visual insight. And if you get the chance, you should totally check out the game's version of Vince DiCola's training montage song that plays in the menu. It's phenomenal, with awesome electric guitar riffs. I'll send you the link below. So, oh, there you go. You have it there, Ryan.
That's what I love about StreamYard. Look at this.
Those are some horrible graphics.
They are. They are.
I understand this game is almost 20 years old now. Drago is the best one there.
Because he's just square, right?
The eyes are all super weird.
The worst one is Apollo Creed. He looks like you know, the actor on he was on ER, but he was also in Coming to America.
Eric LaBelle or Eric
LaSalle? Yeah, that's right.
LaSalle.
Yeah, he looks like Eric LaSalle.
Oh, jeez. Look at Rocky's narrow face, that huge Lego hair. Look at that helmet of hair. I love it.
Yeah.
Behind each character select, so it says your select career path, you know. And behind each character, you got, of course, the Rocky statue behind Rocky. Is that supposed to be California behind Apollo? Like palm trees?
Yeah. Yeah, and mountains and stuff.
And you got Chicago, like a rundown urban street for Mr. T, or sorry, Clubber.
Yeah.
And then the classic Russian phallic buildings behind.
Oh, yeah, that's the Kremlin. That's St. Basil's Cathedral, but yeah, it's the Kremlin, basically.
There's a tank. There's a tank right there in the forefront.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he'd be on Red Square or whatever. I don't mind that. I think the backgrounds are fine. They put way more effort into making the background look good. The Red Square looks great.
The backgrounds are good. Not so much the faces. He also has, he links to a YouTube video as well.
Yeah, I listened to it. I'm not going to put it on this video. Just Google or Rocky Legends, Vince DiCola. Basically, they take the same soundtrack from the Rocky IV soundtrack, but there's electric guitar added is essentially what's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This is from our fan in the land down under, Rob Sky Sala. Thank you
so much, Rob. That's amazing. And Donald does bring up a good point here that it might be fun to also interview some of the voice actors. I think this game might be a fascinating. I'll dig in. I'll look on Wikipedia, look at the creators, look at the voice actors. I think IMDb would actually list the voice actors and the writers. I'd be just kind of curious to see the video game development, maybe. One of our faithful listeners of our podcast, Adrian, has a podcast called Arcade Attack. He's been on the show a couple times. I bet you he's already done this. He may have already done this. So, Adrian, if you're listening, which I know you are, don't take my idea if you haven't. Don't you beat me to it. Speaking of ideas, the Round 14 podcast, they're reviewing Rocky 2 right now. So I think we might have inspired them to review Rocky 2. So
I wonder why they started with 2.
I don't know why they started with two. Like, come on, guys. We're on two right now. You could have gone three, one, six, Creed films. I don't know. But hey, we got a lot of Rocky II coverage on the last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. But so good luck to Tony and his co-hosts. I think they wrapped it up in just two episodes, though. I think they're much more concise than us. We drag ourselves forever.
Speaking of dragging it out, I did want to mention to you guys that as a little taste of our – speaking of emails, so last time, I think it was Simon said that he would be a listener of our, you know, our future coverage of – other boxing movies. And we talked about that there was a ton of them. And I don't know if you guys get on kicks of watching old movies, but I've been like,
oh, I love old
lately movies. Been watching a lot of old movies that I just hadn't ever seen before. I watched somewhat recently The Champ. Have you guys seen The Champ?
I have not.
Well, it is tangentially. It's tangentially related to Rocky in a few ways. It's about as much like a boxing movie as Rocky is. Okay, John Voight and Faye Dunaway and Ricky Schroeder. And so John Voight, it's 1979. Bill Baldwin is a racetrack announcer in the movie. Oh, wow. John Voight is a former champion who also is super questionable as a father. So there's that little Rocky crossover.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know what I thought this movie was going to be. Really don't like children in movies, but Ricky Schroeder.
You don't like children in real life either.
Well, not really, no. Yeah. You guys have to watch this. I bawled. There were several two specific scenes in this movie that I was like, God damn, that little boy should win an Oscar.
Oh, wow. Ricky Schroeder, eh? Good for him. Mm-hmm. I think we're the same age. I think Ricky and I are the same age.
Okay.
You might be a tad older, but I think we're about the same age. I really enjoyed his turn. I don't know if you ever watched NYPD Blue back in the day when he came on as one of the cops. He did great.
Yeah,
he did.
Was he the blonde guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so jealous of his life because I was the same age of him, right? And so he lived in this, going through the house on that train. He was on a train. Remember, he's on that toy train. He got to ride. He had arcades in his home. And yeah, I guess the idea is Silver Spoon is a rich kid, right?
Yeah. I would highly recommend if anybody hasn't seen it. It's really good.
Well, we will. There you go. There's a little tease, guys, of what we're going to sell like covering other films that aren't Rocky. Okay. So before we get into the Rocky coverage, this is really cool. Kyle, did you see the video message that Chris gave us, this new listener named Chris of our show? I tagged you on Facebook. Okay. I think Kyle's blocked me on Facebook. But so I tagged both of you on our Rocky page, but I want to share it with our listeners and our viewers on YouTube. So this is really cool. This guy's name is Chris. He hosts his own podcast called The Boys Podcast. Now, this is the first. So Chris has done something that no one else has ever done before. So he sent us a quick email. I'll read the email first. Hi, guys. Big fan. That's the name of the email. I'm really glad to have found fellow Rocky nerds. This movie changed my life when I was 13. I became a boxer, and it helped me live a clean life, as Paulie would say. I was the kid running around the neighborhood in screen-accurate gray sweatpants and a stinking sweatshirt with, you guessed it, Italian Stallion written on the back. I love this podcast, and I'll be very sad when you get through all the films. Hope you're all full of life. See yous later. P.S. I attached the link to a video message for all of yous. Feel free to post it if you want. This guy's a character. I love it. We've had a couple other podcasters who listen to our show and give us emails, but this is the first, ladies and gentlemen, where a podcaster has left us a video message on their podcast page to us. So,
hey, Ryan. Hey, Katie. Hey, Kyle. First time listener, long time caller, or something like that. My name is Chris Dragoo. Yeah, that's my real last name. No, I'm not Russian. I'm actually Italian. I used to be a boxer. Hey, yo. Anyway, I just wanted to send this video in and let you guys know that you have my new favorite podcast. That's right. One More Round is my new favorite podcast. I've actually only been listening for 2 days, but I'm already all caught up. Yeah. So you're on Rocky 2, part 11. Part 12 is coming out. Maybe this will make the cut. Who knows? I got a little piece of trivia for you. So I'm sure you guys know, but maybe some of your listeners don't. The baby in Rocky Part 2 is actually Sylvester Stallone's real-life son, Sergio. So, if you don't know, now you know. Thanks for having me, guys. I'd love to do a real-life podcast with you someday. Who knows, you know? Jesus!
I should have broke your thumb!
That's great.
Yeah, he knew the way to our hearts through that busted thing there.
Yeah,
he does listen. He does listen.
Yeah, that was fantastic, Chris. Truly, that made me. I watched it two or three times. I thought it was fantastic. And dude, what mic do you have? That's an amazing microphone, by the way. I want to get. I think it's the Shure microphones. They're a little bit pricier. They're very nice. One day, because he sounded great.
We looked like he was in like a studio.
I don't want him on because I think better than us. He'll make us look bad. He'll make us look like a bunch of ham and eggers.
We are a bunch of ham and eggers. And that's the charm that we bring.
So it's called The Boys Podcast. It's on YouTube. And I also want to say, Kyle, he did leave a comment our last episode. He goes, why does Kyle always look like he's filming for Mars? So he had that question.
Good question. I have a shitty computer that I bought for $300 online somewhere. It's like refurbished. I've had it for several years now. Wow. And it's such a piece of shit that it doesn't have a camera on it. So I have this old webcam that I plug into the USB. For some reason, it has a weird interpretation of what color should look like. This room I'm in is white.
I was going to say, do you have like a red light on or something?
I thought it was a red light all this time. So it's your actual camera.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a picture of the room here and send it to you.
Okay.
I take a selfie of me in the room here. And I'm going to send it to you right now, Ryan, and you'll see.
I've always thought you were in a red room, like you did like creepy photos of your neighbors that you took pictures of or something like that. You know,
yeah, no. No, I will eventually get a new computer with a new camera, but until then, this is just...
Yeah, I'm sorry the show doesn't make any money for you guys. The show actually cost me money. I would give you money. There it is. Okay, so let me just share this.
Oh, yeah, that's so crazy. Oh, my God.
There it is, folks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go. Well, that's great. We did that for Chris. See, that's the kind of interaction you get with us when you email the show, especially when you give a video file. So Donald said this, that Mickey would call Kyle a tomato.
I am notoriously frugal. Like Mickey, hasn't changed his underwear in 10 years?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else about Mickey. Sorry.
Oh, no. No, I didn't think of that.
So you haven't bought a new pair of underwear in 10 years either?
I wear them until they disintegrate. I'm going to use this computer till it dies. When it eventually dies, I'll get a new computer, but I'm not going to buy one just to have a better camera.
You don't want to do anything special for this podcast. And this is not who you are. In fact, if you look at the one more round thumbnail for a podcast, I made me blue with the blonde hair. And Kyle, I made you the red face because of your camera. That's why there's a red face. Of course, pink because it's a girl, and that's what girls wear. Girls wear pink. That's right. I said it. Now I'm going to get canceled.
It also makes you look like I have like almost like a Donald Trump orange glow.
Yeah, you look good. Okay. Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Chris and Rob. Send us emails, videos. Hey, man, videos are great. I think if you go on the One More Round Anchor or Spotify version of the show, because I do a standalone feed. We're on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, but people listen. I also have the show streams to a separate RSS feed. I think you have the option there, folks, to send voicemails. I think you can send voice messages. So if you do, we'll play the voice messages on our show as well, just like Chris did. So you can also just send us an email with a voice file and we'll play it. If that's something you'd like to do, to hear your voice on a podcast, by all means, we welcome that. Okay. Well, we're ready to go into the movie. Now, Kyle, do you remember when you chased a chicken?
Yes, I was going to bring that up, actually.
This is actually around the time that you caught that chicken and put it on our podcast page. Katie was newish to the show, and she wasn't a big fan of that.
Yes, I'm not a fan of this scene either.
Let me tell you something about the chicken. Let me tell you the backstory.
No, you did. You told us on the show.
It was getting picked on, and that's a thing that chickens do. And so whoever's chickens these are wasn't properly separating them. And
because Kim
and I babysit them sometimes when she goes out of town, and they are hard to catch.
Yeah, like I chose not to chase the fast one for two reasons. One, it makes me look bad, and two, I felt bad for that chicken. It's being bullied all the time.
Yeah,
so I thought I'd chase one of the bullies to kind of give it a taste of its own medicine. They were fine.
Okay,
give some excitement in their life, you know.
Yeah.
Long story short, Kyle demonstrated his chicken catching abilities, that he was able to catch that chicken. He did catch the chicken. He did a triumphant yell and I cut Mickey's response to Kyle catching the chicken afterwards. I thought it was pretty good.
You're gonna have to post that when you post the episode.
I'll see if I can find it and intersperse it in. Again, a better podcaster would have had this prepared.
You're like the show guinea pig too, because didn't you also drink the eggs? And wasn't there something else you did?
Yes, Kyle? I did drink like six raw eggs. I was drunk at the same time. I don't know how I didn't get sick.
Anything to do with chickens, Kyle has taken
yeah,
care of.
Yeah.
Yes. I did want to punch some meat, but I haven't found... I do have some farmer family on my wife's side, but they have, like, no sense of humor. And they probably like, why do you want to punch meat? So, like,
have you
know.
Seen a little indie movie called Rocky?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I might punch meat later.
Well, that's okay. I think myself. We're good if you don't. We've seen enough meat punching.
Yeah, we don't need to see anyone to beat the meat on the camera. That's fine. All right, so now we're getting to, of course, the failed. I call this the failed training montage sequence of the film. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we talked about speed, greasy chicken speed. So here we go. So Mickey's got the chicken. Where did Mickey grab the chicken? Have we discussed where he grabbed this chicken?
Ooh, good question.
That Italian market, that like outdoor market. Maybe somebody has them there. I don't
that,
know.
That I think that's where. I think he went to Chinatown. Because it seems like in Chinatown they have like live animals in cages and shit. So,
which is sad. So I don't like that.
You think he bought the chicken, borrowed the chicken, rented the chicken, stole the chicken?
I know. I don't like this because what's happening to this chicken after this? Like this poor chicken.
No, he wouldn't kill it.
He's just got to give it to someone who will kill it, I guess.
Go out in the alley and catch the bird. They should have had him.
Honestly, if you're a real piece of shit, what you'll do is just drop the chicken off somewhere and then drive away. Just let it like roam the city or whatever.
People do that all the time with so shelters and sanctuaries have to deal with that. Which yeah. So people, nobody, please don't do that.
Your pet bear is not the best idea. And when you figure that out.
Yeah, like people will get ducks at Easter, like, and then they're like, oh, we're done with them now. Yeah.
There you go. Somebody from Facebook said it's going in the crock pot. Again, Facebook for some reason doesn't bring up the user's name. So if you want to say your name afterwards there.
It wasn't me, Katie. I didn't say that. That's the best comment.
That is probably what it is, Donald. However, this is a hen, not a rooster.
Okay,
but,
fair enough. Okay.
But yes, good point.
I show you a trick how to get some speed in them legs. You have to wear that stinking sweatshirt.
Well, it brings me luck, you know.
You know what it brings? It brings flies. Now listen, I want you to try, listen to me. I want you to try to chase this little chicken.
What do I gotta chase a chicken for? It's embarrassing, you know?
First, because I said so. And second, because chicken chasing is how we always used to train in the old days. Yeah. You catch this thing, you can catch Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning, wasn't that a song from Grease?
Yeah.
So guys, hold on. My family left the house, and now my dog is like freaking out. He's howling.
Okay, go take care of your dog. We'll just keep going. Go do what you gotta do. All right, so if you can catch this chicken, you can catch Grease Lightning. Now, I love how Mickey keeps talking about training like the old days, but I think we've established that Mickey might not be the best trainer. I think he's a good father figure to Rocky.
What I found interesting is that him saying, like old people say, oh, back in my day, we used to do blah, blah, blah. And Rocky just like, yeah, uh-huh. He's not buying it at all. On the trainer bit, I always thought this was strange that he's never referred to as his trainer, or he's more often referred to as Rocky's manager, which is very different than a trainer.
Doesn't the manager literally just manage the affairs of the fight? And
did you guys always wonder about why they didn't say trainer?
I want to be a manager, kid. Yeah. I want to give you all this up here.
Yeah, he's never referred to as the trainer. Do we ever hear the word Mickey was my trainer?
No, Mickey's just a, I guess he's a jack of all trades, but. Maybe when you eat a little more humble, like Rocky, you can't afford to have a trainer and a manager and this and that. I don't really know what managing Mickey really does here.
Is he ever on the phone with Creed's people? Does he?
He sets up the fights. I don't know.
Yeah, he does the managing in Rocky 3, right? He gets Rocky to fight guys that aren't killers.
That's right? True. He kept him winning and healthy.
In the first That's two true. Movies, Mickey had nothing to do with setting up any of the fights at all. It was Apollo basically begging Rocky to fight him. There's no negotiation we could see of money or anything like that. All Mickey does is train him in the first two films. The manager is kind of a misnomer in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Donald asked a good question. Was this the only training method Rocky taught Adonis? Adonis chased the chicken in the Creed film.
That's right. Yeah.
And Adonis caught it right away, which I thought was kind of funny that he did catch it right away. Didn't he catch it right away?
He did. And Rocky says, chickens are getting slower these days, which is actually true. In the 40 years that have passed since this time, us selfish humans have bred them to be so to grow so fast.
Breaded chicken.
That they're like crippled under their body weight.
The hen that I caught was a little chunkier than this guy.
They actually are twice the size that they used to be.
Now, like, the chicken that I didn't go for was skinny like this one because I think they weren't letting him eat the other chickens. Man, he was in a bad way. Like, if I was that chicken, I'd off myself big time.
When he ended up on someone's dinner plate. Okay, yeah. so that's what Rocky says here. Well, I'd rather eat it than chase it.
I'd rather eat it than chase it. It ain't very mature. Listen, but if you say
well, neither are you very mature. Now listen, get this thing.
A fighter ain't a farmer.
Come on, go on and get him.
Well, you're not very mature.
I love that response. It's the best.
It really is. And does Mickey ever speak normally? I feel like he always yells or whispers.
Only in the third movie.
Back then, he was supernatural.
I think the discussion in the bedroom when he's like, he was kind of quiet there too, but I think that was the most we've seen him just kind of talk to Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now Rocky's going to chase the chicken, see how he does. Now go chase that thing. So Rocky's going to chase that. You're right. I'm not a fan of this either in the sense of like, there is a part of me, like I'm not a vegetarian or vegan. I get it. I'm just saying, I don't like anything to suffer. I admit I eat meat. I'm a hypocrite. I understand. I don't like to witness stuff either. Like, I don't like to look at it, you know, I admit. So well, watching this animal just be chased, it's like, yeah, the animal's scared and it's being chased by a human. That's all that's happening here. But
you know what you should do? Get a dog. Chase your dog.
Yeah, they think it's a game. Exactly. Like
my dog would be down for getting chased.
I don't think Butkus would be.
Yeah, he'd just jump around you. So yeah, he wouldn't get away from you. But yeah, I have a dog that if I play chase with it, I would never catch it.
You have to get like a fat dog.
Get him!
Yeah. So here's Mickey yelling, get him, get him. Mickey just, throughout this whole sequence, of course, just craps all over Rocky's ability to catch this thing.
Get him, get him! Come on, what's the matter with you? Get him! Pick him up! Pick him up! Put him down! What's the matter, you're so fast? What are you standing still or something? Speed, speed! Can't you catch your little chicken? Huh? Come on! Move your tail! Move your tail! You look like a girl out there. What's the matter with you?
You look like a girl. I kind of forgot that was in there.
Mickey, if he was still alive today, would be 150. So he's not PC at all. He's just like old school. You look like a girl. Rocky's heard this insult, but this is what he says in response.
I feel like a Kentucky Fried idiot.
And he kind of stumbles his line there. They kept the take, but Sly kind of stumbles the line. Listen to his delivery. I made him overanalyzing. I've seen this movie 100 times. He goes, I feel like a Kentucky. I feel like he just stumbles ever so slightly on the delivery. Listen.
I feel like a Kentucky Fried idiot.
I want to comment something with the training.
Please go
ahead. What I'd wish Mickey would work with Rocky on. It's called not getting punched in the face. Moving your head from side to side. Maybe bobbing up and down. Hey, Rocky, let's work on not getting hit. I know that they're doing the whole, you could fight right-handed, so your left eye can now get permanently damaged instead of your right eye, which is already permanently damaged. Let's work on maybe not getting punched as much.
Good strategy.
Southpaws are the worst. They lead with their face.
You're the worst.
Wake up, man. Would you wake up? Come on. Come on. Give it. Give it.
Yo, Rock, what's the matter with my sister? Oh, boy, I wish you'd go talk. You know, Adrian don't like this, man. She started crying and everything. She don't like.
Now, Mickey, of course, is saying there's no drive in his training. Mickey, of course, has seen this hundreds of thousands of times. So, you know, he can tell when a boxer is putting his heart and soul into the training. Rocky's not doing that. He's just punching the bag. But Paulie, he asks the question, what's the matter with my sister? Have they had this discussion already? Because Paulie leads with the question, what's the matter with my sister? So what does Paulie know at this point? And how does he know it? We, the audience, knows what's going on. But how does Paulie know what's going on?
They have a relationship with Paulie. To a degree, like maybe he comes over for dinner occasionally or says hi when he's walking around the neighborhood. Like he might come into the pet shop or might visit Rocky and Adrian a couple times a week, something like that.
Yeah, he probably stops into the pet shop. And it's a good question that you pose. He's saying, I've noticed that Adrian is seemingly sad or whatever, but he doesn't know why.
The audience knows what's going on. This is a narrative. So now Rocky gets to say, well, she doesn't like me. Because he's saying that, like, either he's repeating the conversation they've already had. It sounds like he's saying it to Paulie for the first time.
You know, explaining
she doesn't like
it.
Me, dude. Yep. She doesn't like me fighting. She started crying. So think about her. Adrian's crying. This is kind of a throwaway line. But if you think about what has happened off screen, we have a crying Adrian. She is in tears over this matter. I think we've kind of glossed over that.
Yeah, like she's going through a lot. She's probably legitimately worried that he's going to be disabled for the rest of his life. He's going to be blind and he's going to be really hurt. And Adrian, she's not a material girl.
No.
Living in a material world. She cares about Rocky's well-being more than him just making money. I can tell you one thing about Rocky. His legs are not weak right now. Because there's no way any of that's going on at home.
There's no coitus.
Plus, she's pregnant, so she's probably not feeling super hot. She's all emotional, so maybe that's why she's crying more.
Oh, you know what? I never actually thought about that. Pregnancy hormones in all this, because that can't help.
No, I think it's just like layered on top of it.
Hey, what's with this domestic stuff? Tend to the business, will you? Jab that till it hurts 500 times without stopping, you hear me? 500 times.
Hey, Mick, I want to use my other arm.
If you do, I'm going to chop it off. Is that clear?
I'll figure something.
Of course, Mickey's upset about the training interruption. Fair enough. Paulie gets up to leave because he's, you know, not welcome there anymore. And Mickey's yelling about punching that bag 500 times to
Hoyts.
That's right. So now Rocky's like, I want to leave with the other arm.
He's punching with his left arm because he has to learn to jab.
That's right. When you're right-handed, you jab with the left.
Yeah.
Right?
Power hand is the
powerhouse. That's right. So now it's opposite. So he's learning to jab with his left. Yeah, because he's doing how I would fight, because I'm right-handed. I see.
Okay. Yeah, which is weird, because like his left hand's his dominant hand, right? I have a bag in my garage that I punch, and I've tried practicing southpaw to kind of just work on my strength with my other arm.
Yeah.
Jabbing with my right isn't hard, because my right's my dominant hand. But throwing a power shot with my left is sad. My grip strength in my left and right hand are pretty similar. Like my strength in my left arm is similar to my right arm. There's something about the technique. I can't throw a hard punch with my left hand. Do you think he'd be working on throwing those hard rights instead of throwing the left jabs?
But. Really good point. Big shocker. I noticed something about his outfit. How many of these sweatsuits does he own? Because it had a hole in it in the previous scene.
He's got a few.
They're the same?
I think he's got other outfits. He's just a gray and black man, right?
It's just the same ugly, gross one. Okay.
Does this one have a hole in it, actually?
No, it doesn't. That's why I noticed it. He changed into a new one.
He's going to have other shirts later on, like the Win Rocky Win shirt, that blue one later.
Yeah, which makes sense. I didn't know if it was like a mistake wardrobe-wise or not.
Great statement by Donald. Yeah, acting-wise, it would have been great to see Talia play an off-screen crying scene, like a crying, like, why will you have to do this? How often do we see Adrian cry in these films?
When Polly throws the turkey in the alley, kind of runs away. Or when Polly says, you're busted, you're not a virgin, and then she kind of shrieks.
Oh, the FBI would say that!
Yeah.
Although I don't know if she ever sheds tears in those scenarios.
No, I don't think any tears come down. That's right.
No, she's kind of hardened, I think.
Yeah.
Imagine if like you grew up with Polly, and it is weird that Rocky's like, hey, Polly, could you take care of this? Like, could you take care of my sister's emotional well-being, even though your history with her is...
It does seem like Rocky's asking a lot of Polly here. So Rocky's about to say, yeah, I wish you would, Polly. Appreciate it. You know, like, because Polly says, I'll figure something out. And Rocky's trusting Polly to figure something out. It is odd. I guess Rocky's just... I know he's not the smartest guy. Maybe he misses these social cues. Yeah, I'll figure something. I'll put her in a coma.
Yeah. Rocky, too, maybe is just at the end of his... He's presumably him and Adrian have talked off screen about this. Or he's like, come on, Adrian, cheer up. Or, you know, let's maybe have some marriage time together. Or
So there's nothing more Rocky can say. So he's like, yeah, I might as well have somebody else go at her.
I guess. And throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wish you would, Paul. I appreciate it, you know. Appreciate
it. I'm sorry. Are you finished?
Yeah.
Can we go to work? That would be nice.
Now okay, hold on. Mickey also probably doesn't have high emotional intelligence. But, like, Mickey should realize that the psychology of a fighter. Remember Rocky said, he was quoting Mickey in the fifth film, that fighting is like 90% in your brain and 10% in your body. Mickey should realize it's okay, like, Rocky's brain's all up. Maybe it'd be good to get this worked out so we could focus on training.
He gets there. Yeah, he gets there. He's like, what's the matter with you? That was beautiful.
How come you're not like last time? He's not saying like, hey, what are we going to do?
Yeah, we'll see later. I think Mickey does the thing that Rocky needs him to do, being there for him.
Oh, yeah, and like the chapel and stuff. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Jab at tenoids. Go ahead.
Three.
Yeah.
Four.
I want 500 high ones. Go.
What was I, 7 or 8?
Mickey didn't have a shirt on underneath his sweatshirt.
Yeah.
It was just his bare chest. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I want to go back. Well, he looks hilarious there.
What was I, 7 or 8?
Now we're cutting to Apollo's train. Look at those arms. Look at
he's huge here. I don't know if he was actually significantly bigger in this movie versus the first. He seems
Yeah, he's definitely jacked up.
Like, yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't prepare for Rocky One, but I think maybe he was already in shape with Rocky One and probably didn't feel the need. Because Rocky's a little pretty kind of doughy in comparison to him anyways.
He's doughy in part two here. Like that.
Well, I don't know if I would say doughy.
Compared to, because he made sure in the third film, by his own admission, that he was like, what, 0.2% body fat. He stripped everything. All that baby fat's gone. It creates
all
gone.
Well, that's because of the plastic surgery.
You get your face fixed up.
Yeah.
This is where you get an idea that Paul is not just training hard, but he's also angry.
He's got the eye of the tiger, man.
One, two. Which doesn't make sense. I didn't have the eye of the tiger. He says it in the third film. So look at that. Look at that face. You're telling me that's not the eye of the tiger?
Yeah, just because you're not training in a shithole doesn't mean that you don't have the eye of the tiger and aren't working hard and becoming the best fighter.
It is a palatial gym, but still.
Yeah, he's not being lazy. Come on. Slam it. Slam it. Come on. Hey, come on.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, check it out. Is this the same set as Rocky's The House of Ill Repute, as Mickey calls it? It seems like the same.
No, that was actually in a hotel. No, they actually did rent out a hotel.
This reminds me of Creed 2 when they brought Victor to train in that palatial gym in Russia. Mm. Like, it kind of reminds me of that setting more.
Okay. I thought this looked like a hotel, like convention room.
What's the name of the painter again?
Leroy Neiman.
Yeah. So he's the painter. Of course, he is a real life painter. So this is like art and life and life and arts. He did some announcer work. He was the one in part three. He says, see you again next year. Thank God that we'll see you next year with the charity fight. That was him on the mic.
He's got the mustache.
So you can see the mustache there. So he's actually drawing Apollo here training. And so he's a real painter, real drawer. Sly's a huge fan of his artwork in general. So he gets this guy in this film. He gets him in the other films as well. He has some cameos, I think, in the first four. I think he even might be in part five as well. Sly's like, hey, do you want to be on camera for this sequence? So Sly puts him here. That's probably really his artwork drawing Apollo. I find it oddly, the life and art and art and life that Sly does, it's just endless in the Rocky films.
I find it funny that he's wearing a white suit. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I wear white or any really light colors, I always spill something on myself. Maybe I'm just a natural slob or something, but
it's like inviting a mess.
So we'll see this. But look how Tony's saying. Look how he's he's clenching his butt cheeks there. Look.
He's got nice tight pants on.
He does. He looks great.
Come on. Bring him up. Bring him up. Fast. 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 Come on. Fast.
Apollo looks good in his shorts too. He has better outfits. Much better outfits than Rocky.
Again, Carl Weathers really doing the speed bag. I know it's Apollo, the character, but again, it's Carl on the speed, a great natural athlete.
Yeah, and he did some amateur boxing, so he has some skill.
So doesn't that look like a carpet from like a conference room at a hotel?
This might be a hotel. You're right. So maybe it's the same. Good question. So is it the same hotel that was used for the House of Ill Repute for part three?
Because it's probably not, but it just reminded me of
it. But for the storyline, this is Apollo's palatial gym, but then for part three, Rocky says, when we want to go out, let's go out in style. They rented out a hotel for that. Okay, now this is the discussion we had on the Going the Distance podcast. I want to ask our listeners, comment below, or even anyone watching us live right now, we're hearing the chanting of Apollo. I've always was led to believe it's in Apollo's mind. But I believe Kyle said they actually pull it. Was it you, Kyle? That they
yes, I remember this argument now.
It's not an argument, it's a discussion. You feel
friendly disagreement.
Well, yeah, no, I do disagree with you and you, me. I find it again because it's just me, Ryan, and I don't see where it might be. Maybe I don't see. Is a plane behind him? Is that a speaker behind him? I don't know. Let's so
be
again,
a speaker
let's
where the camera it. Is.
I'm not sure. I don't recall. So you don't pay attention.
Well, I think we're going to hear the chanting of the name Apollo. I just think it's in his mind, essentially. It's the theater of the mind that him as a fighter is hearing that when the crowd stops chanting your name, as Adrian says, like this is just him hearing the psych of the crowd in his head. But Kyle's argument, if correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, you're saying they played it for him while he's training.
I'm convinced of that.
Okay.
Totally convinced.
I'm as equally as convinced as you. We're both equally convinced with our side of the story.
Get up! So get me another one, all right?
Now it stops. See, the chanting stopped once he knocked that guy out because I think it's in his head. Why did they hit stop in the gym? The Apollo.
I think it's artistic liberty from whoever's producing this movie, right?
I think we, the viewer, are hearing what. So once Apollo knocks out his opponent, the chanting of his name ended in his head.
We have Apollo during sparring, but we also have that when he's hitting that. I don't know what that thing is. The ball.
The horizontal.
But then you don't have it when he's skipping rope.
Wait, so you're trying to tell me they play and stop? So that's what I mean. I think it's just in his head when it's in his head. That's all it is. And we're hearing it when it's in his head. And so Sly, of course, is the editor, director, writer of the film. And I'm sure if we asked him, he'd probably be like, I don't know why I did it. It sounded good.
I think I'm siding with Ryan on this
Thank
one.
You.
What?
Thank
you.
I don't feel strongly either way, but I can see Ryan's point.
You have to make a point. You have to make a stand. You can't be diplomatic. You can be Switzerland if you want. He's saying there's a physical person physically turning on and off a chant somewhere in the gym. And I'm saying that's what
you
could
do if you have a palatial gym. If he's training at Delphi Gym or at that tough gym in LA or something like that, but they have painters. He has guys that do his hair in the ring.
I understand all that. I know. Look, that's a good point. He also has his woman around ready to take care of him when this fight, to towel him down after he has a shower. Look, I get it. He has everything at his disposal. I just think it's in his head, especially because I think my biggest evidence there is when the opponent falls on the ground. What did they have Leroy ready to hit stop? Every time the opponent falls down, hit stop on the voices?
Yes. To me, that's more realistic than...
Come on, you got to ease up on these fire partners. You just get me another man.
We all love that, of course. He's going through these sparring partners like...
So imagine if Rocky was hired as a sparring partner for Apollo Creed in the first film. And Apollo was really angry with whoever he was fighting. And then he couldn't knock Rocky down in sparring, no matter how hard he tried. That really bothered Apollo. And then they had a rivalry between them in the sparring gym. And then that guy got hurt. Then he decides to fight Rocky. Mm. That's like a good alternate universe plot.
Yeah, good point. I like
it. I don't know if the scene, if Apollo will wear the shirt again, but just before the discussion about the chanting, Apollo was wearing like a light blue shirt with red lettering that said like something about Stallion, whatever it said. The wardrobe department. It was in the same font. It's the same shirt. It's the same shirt with different letters as both, when Rocky went too. But the wardrobe people are just lazy.
You're right. Outside of this movie, we know it's the same people that made Rocky's shirt and made Apollo's shirt. But within the universe, they're basically saying that when Rocky's camp and Apollo's camp went out to get the shirts made, they went to the same company in the movie. You're right.
I just don't believe Rocky would ever have a custom shirt like that.
Adrian made it, maybe.
Who would make it? Mickey sure as hell isn't making one. Rocky, I don't think, has the time to order that. And he likes to wear old shitty sweatsuits, so that's not him. The only person I can think of who might do something like that, and I still think it's unlikely, is Paulie.
Gazzo, maybe.
Gazzo is like more like, here's a wad of cash or something like that.
That's true. Mickey tells that John guy to do it, like because John seems to be his like assistant. Guy who holds the bag.
Yeah. I think I'm going with Paulie because, in part three, he's the one that sells all the merch. So he knows about this.
I forgot one thing.
Please.
John reminded me of Mike because John is like the new Mike in this movie. Right. Mike being Jimmy Gambino. Also, I noticed in the credits when I was watching, the champ was also the expert guy for the boxing scenes
in that movie, choreographer.
So maybe that's why he couldn't do Rocky II, because in 1979, he was doing the champ.
That's right. Look at Mickey's face. So Rocky's having a hard time with the speed bag. Look at Mickey's face. Like,
you idiot.
You can't even hit a speed bag. Mickey see that all of his dreams.
Fine. What's the matter? That bag too fast for you?
It says people cheering on tape. Well, there you go, Kyle. That might be it then.
Oh, my God. It's look right there.
Well, you've also said, Kyle, by your own admission, that the caption people are wrong. But fair enough.
Yes, that is. Yeah.
But to be fair to Kyle, fair enough. That's fine. Then I'll just say it's ridiculous. Fine. According to, so for the people listening at home, that we watch these with the captions on, the caption people have determined whether they consulted with Sly or not. We don't know. We don't know what the consultation, but the caption people have stated in parentheses, people cheering on tape. Okay. I can't argue the captions, and I am beholden to the captions to a degree, because that is what is on the Blu-ray DVD. Enough, though, it does sound louder here right now than it did before. Mm-hmm. Like, it does sound louder.
Also, that's a pretty poor sparring partner. That guy was like, could you just get somebody off the street?
I think they did. So just get me another one. They probably said, do you want to like be a live punching bag for the champ for $200?
Yeah, your sparring partner should actually be trying to hit you.
But like, he was also like skinny and like not in shape. Yeah.
A sparring partner isn't just someone there to get punched. Like, for example, in Rocky IV, when they're like, no sparring, I don't think I need it anymore. Like, what the f*** are you talking about? Sparring is super important. That's where you're practicing fighting. Maybe you should have a sparring partner in Rocky's side that tries to punch you constantly. Like, say that fast guy. Like, it seems like in the Rocky universe, sparring partners are just people who get hit. Like, I guess Rocky's did hit a little bit, to be fair. You should have one where you're dodging punches from the sparring partner when you're mm-hmm. going side to side. And same with Apollo. Like, you should have a sparring partner who tries to throw lots of body shots at you, because that's what Rocky's going to do.
Good point. Agreed. All right, so now we got Rocky skipping his rope.
They're going to pound that sass right out of him. Last time we should have won. But this time, you're going to be scared, kid. You're going to be a greasy, fast Italian monster. You're going to eat lightning. You're
going to
crap thunder.
There's that classic line. So he's eating grapes. Now, look, you got to hand it to Mickey. He's working with what he's working with right now, but he's got the hype talk going on pretty good. What do you think?
I never noticed that he says we're going to, like, beat that sass out of him. Or, like, something about the word sass was a nice touch that I never noticed before.
I always say that with my dogs. I got to take them to the dog park to run the sass out of them.
Really?
Because they're always better behaved. Mm-hmm. After they've expended some energy. But yeah, I like that too, because Apollo's like been a real asshole this whole time, and mm-hmm. now you gotta kind of put him in his place, I guess. Mickey's delusional or something. Like, he's still he's kind of in denial of what's happening. Like, he's like, yeah, you're gonna be scary, even though you've been training like shit this whole time.
Yeah. It's odd, because Mickey this whole time has been saying, no, what's the matter with you? Can't you catch a chicken? So he's recognizing Rocky's inability to train properly, but then all of a sudden he's given this speech of like, Rocky is doing amazing. Maybe he's like last ditch effort. That's a good trainer to a degree. Maybe he's saying, okay, I gotta get in some motivation.
We'll have to put you in a cage, kid.
We're gonna put you in a cage, kid, because he's gonna be so dangerous, I guess.
What Mickey is trying to do is what Apollo did to Rocky successfully in Rocky III, which is to make him fast and evasive, and also to kind of trick Clubber Lang. Or Mickey's trying to do this with Rocky, where he's quick and he's not getting punched as much, and he's landing punches of his own, and it's just weird that never happens at all.
Let's take a break, okay?
Break? What break? Where are you going? We're not finished. Hey, I said, where the hell are you going? Talking to myself.
Rocky says he's got to take a break. Mickey's like, what break? You're not doing anything. We cut to now Adrian in the pet shop working. You hear the birds chirping. She's adjusting the shelves.
Working feeding well. The fish.
I always thought she looks like she's wearing a bathrobe. I guess she's wearing a
smock.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it feels like if you're painting something, that's what you'd wear.
Now she's moving this garbage can full of seed, maybe, or something, dragging it across the floor. Why was it there to begin with? Where's she moving it to?
And then she brings the bucket over. This always bothered me because she's pregnant. She's not supposed to lift weight.
Yeah.
And
that's what they're showing. Like, look what the injury she's doing to herself.
Lifting with her back and not her, her leg.
Is she injuring herself or does Polly's argument? We all blame Polly, but I don't know.
No, like, I always assumed it was this. And the doctor says as much, that it's due to overwork.
If anything, Polly was maybe a catalyst. But he's not like the root cause, I don't think.
So she puts that bucket there where the other bucket was. Okay. I mean, I know she's pregnant, but that bucket can't be. It wasn't like. But here's the next scene. Of course, Rocky's in the ring fighting. This is Durango guy. What's his name?
Roberto Duran. Yeah, that is him. And he's quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. The middleweight. Like, he's way smaller than Sly.
Well, Sly isn't actually a heavyweight weight.
True. This guy, he wouldn't fight in Roberto Duran's weight class either.
Okay.
So Roberto Duran, of course, real life boxer, another real life boxer in the film, cameo. And there is a film called Stone. I believe we talked about it. Add that to our boxing movie list if you haven't already.
And there's also there's a documentary as well. So there's two. Yeah.
To be fair, to walk back the comment I made earlier, this sparring partner is actually pretty good in the sense that he's hitting back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see this guy with Apollo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have switched sparring partners. They should have given Rocky the one that stood still to make him feel better about himself and given Roberto Duran to Apollo.
They should have given Apollo a huge guy that punches like incredibly hard and been like, all right, try and beat the shit out of him. Apollo should be training for a guy that is throwing heavy punches.
Good point.
Because Apollo doesn't know that Rocky's trying to be a speed demon, which is fine because he never ends up doing that in the actual fight. I'll never stop complaining about that. They should really have Apollo fighting a short, stocky, powerful guy is what he should be doing. I think this is a good sparring choice for Rocky because you should have a guy who's fast that could punch you. If you could dodge this guy's punches, you should be able to dodge Apollo's or at least dodge some of them.
So, of course, Mickey's yelling, "You look dead out there. If you can catch that little speedball."
Yeah, exactly.
If you can catch that little speedball, you're going to catch crazy. Come on, move.
Hey, deadass, get over here. That's what he says.
Deadass. I never caught that before.
He's not talking about not getting hit by Creed. He's talking about being able to catch Creed as if Creed's going to avoid him. You don't see that in the fight. Creed basically comes straight on. And like Creed will dodge a punch, to be fair.
Maybe he means he's going to catch him with a hit, I guess.
Yeah.
Deadass, get over here.
I love how Duran's still dancing around. He's just full of energy. He's still bouncing around.
Making the most of his appearance.
And Rocky kind of like, yeah. Keep dancing over there. See that with little
hands? Yeah. That was a good touch.
You sick kid. You kid. What's the matter with you? Let me tell you something, kid. Now, for a 45-minute fight, you got to train hard for 45,000 minutes. 45,000. That's 10 weeks. That's 10 hours a day. You listen?
So I did the math on that. It's actually 42,000 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. When we're looking at Mickey, the fighters in the background, there is a guy wearing jean shorts over sweatpants. That guy behind Rocky. Do you see him? He's behind Rocky's like face. See, jean shorts over sweatpants.
That's
what
awesome.
Is that, you guys?
Oh, that's amazing.
So 45,000 minutes is 750 hours. If you're doing a 10-week camp, which I think is a long camp, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
That's a 75-hour week of training. Say you do 6 days a week, because I don't think you do 7 days. You should have a rest day, I think. That's training 12 and a half hours a day for 6 days a week for 10 weeks. Mm. That's a lot.
That doesn't sound unbelievable.
I remember thinking like Mike Tyson was talking about his camps. So he'd get up like really, really early and like run for like 6 miles or something like that, like a pretty long run and train. And then you take a nap and then you get up and train more. Like you wouldn't be training constantly for 12 and a half hours. Mm-hmm. That would probably wear you down too much. For example, we know now that like high intensity interval training is better than long drawn out bouts of running, for example, like mm-hmm. in terms of improving your performance abilities, maybe not your endurance, but that's probably a little much. Even if it's not literally true, I think Mickey's making a good point in the sense that you can't be lackadaisically training mm-hmm. like this. You got to basically train hard almost every day, almost all day for 10 weeks.
The reason why the scene, of course, is in there is to show you the crunch time that they're in because it's going to be interrupted later with the coma scene, showing you that we were already down to the wire before, and that just shows you how awesome Rocky is, that he's already had his training cut in half or whatever because of the coma. The fight never got postponed.
And we'll think about Rocky 1, where he had 5 weeks. So he had half a camp to train.
It's just to show you a little bit of the resiliency and the... we should give Rocky more credit than we give him, maybe.
That's 10 hours a day, you listen? And you ain't even trained one. I don't know what the hell you're waiting for. What are you waiting for? What?
Oh, no.
Since he hasn't even trained one, is this all the same day? this is what we're led to believe?
I think he says he hasn't done a legitimate hour of training. I get to train hard for this many hours.
The one is referring to the hour, not a day or a week.
Well, that's 45,000 minutes. That's 10 weeks. That's 10 hours a day. It could mean a day. It could mean an hour.
It's the grammar part of me, I should say, is... The one refers to the last noun, describing the noun. So one is referring to the last one mentioned, which was day.
Well, so, he says 10 hours a day. The subject is hours.
I don't think Mickey cares about grammar also.
I wonder what he's referring to, that's all. Is he referring to 1 hour a day or 1 week even? Because he's mentioned all three timelines. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Like he could be in an hour, could be in a day.
But generally speaking, he's just saying you haven't put a full effort in yet, essentially. We've got work to do and you're just not doing anything right now.
Yo, Rocky. Hey, yo, boy, how you doing?
He just got chewed out by his manager. Why is he legitimately happy to see Polly right now? It's odd. They must have a really strong relationship, this film.
Yeah, Polly's not a prick to him this time. Maybe he's excited that maybe Polly's helped Adrian out a bit. Maybe there's some good news coming down the pipe.
Maybe.
And a change of pace. Like it's like, oh, somebody who's not going to yell at me for training shitty.
You saw his face, how it lit up. It's just an odd transition. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, hey, boy, it's good to see you. It was just weird.
You know what, like, this Rocky Adrian thing reminds you of? It's not to be with a spouse, but a partner or whoever. You have, like, a fight with someone, but then you haven't resolved the fight, and it's almost kind of like silent treatment.
Yeah.
And then you're going about your day, and, like, you kind of have to talk to him about this or that, and everything feels off. There's, like, a splinter in your foot or something like that that's bothering you. You just can't give it the effort because it's like there's this thing that's just there.
I'm worried about you. I've been watching. What? Your head ain't...
Maybe it's just me. He goes, I've been watching. He lifts up his watch. See that? Was that intentional? Or am I reading too much in here?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch that.
It was very obvious. He goes, I've been watching. Oh,
yo,
Rocky.
Hey, yo, boy. How you doing?
I'm worried about you. I've been watching.
What?
Your head ain't screwed on right.
Nah, come on. I'm doing okay. You know, I've been thinking, you know, would you like to work my corner? You want to get involved in this fight, you know?
Get involved what? Watching you get murdered?
Nah, come on. I'm doing okay.
Come on. My sister got you so guilty you're running all over the place.
She'll be all right.
Nah, it ain't all right.
Hey, boy, it's okay, all right?
It's not okay.
Yeah, just leave Adrian alone, all right?
A lot of mixed messages here because first it says you want to get involved in the fight. Polly is right. Rocky knows that Polly is right. But previous scene he says, hey, go talk to my sister. Now he's saying leave my sister alone because he knows Polly means business. Like now he's pissed off. So there's a lot of, I don't know if it's a mixed message or is Rocky smarter than he lets on. Originally he said, go talk to my sister. Now he's saying, don't go talk to her. Leave her alone.
This sequence is just running on too long. It should have been edited. We didn't need both scenes. One of them should have been cut. Point. Like that's either this point. One or the prior one.
They conflict each other a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
One never knows that, but that's true.
Yeah, because one says, go talk to my sister. That'd be great. The other one's like, don't talk to my sister. That'll be bad. You're going to put her in a coma. Hey, look at the guy on the left here. That's the...
That was the guy hired by Apollo to...
Yeah, to it sure was.
Oh, you know what, guy? You know what? I'm going to quit the show. I'm going to quit the show. You know, I can edit you guys out. I can just edit everyone out and just have me.
I wish they would make that guy the sparring partner and then Rocky beats the shit out of him. I'd get a lot of satisfaction out of that. Just like Dipper. I'd love to see him beat up Dipper too, which I think was a cut scene from the first one.
Apparently the actor who plays Dipper in the first film, he apparently says that from his own account, he has that film footage in his possession. That's what he claims.
Okay.
Now, we also know that the original film was also burned, which is just blows my mind. It was destroyed intentionally.
Hey, kid, carry this, will you? Because I liked you better when you was carrying spit.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means that you're training like a ninth-rate pug who ought to be pumping gas in Jersey. Yeah? That's what it means.
I think we'll go take a shower, Mick.
Good idea. Hurry up, hurry up. Soak your head someplace. Soak it good.
Not much to say there. It's just funny how he brings the bucket of spit. Because Mickey says, suit yourself, walks away. But then he comes back. You know what? I am angry. He comes
back. You know what that reminds me of? It's like when you're in an argument with someone. And then like 2 hours later, you think of like you think of like the best comeback. I think Mickey, Rocky was talking to Paul, he's like, oh, I should have brought him the spit bucket. And he's like, I still have a chance. I can do that.
I like that. The way that they're showing this is super frustrating for us as a viewer. It's evoking the right emotion in us as like we're seeing how frustrated Mickey is. Because I'm like, God damn it, Rocky. Get with the program.
Yeah, we all feel frustrated. As a first-time viewer, you don't know how it gets resolved. We wouldn't know that. But yes, as a first-time viewer, and even as a multi-time viewer, you get like, oh, let's get going here. So we feel that frustration. This move, let's go. This fight's coming.
As angry and as frustrated as Mickey is, he's not threatening Rocky. For me, if I'm Mickey, I'd probably have a sit-down and be like, okay, what's going on? Aside from that, I'd say, look, man, we got to work something out, because if you're doing this, you could train somewhere else. Like, I'm not training you if you're going to be doing it half-assed. Like, we're going to stick to our training schedule and do it right, or we're not doing it. You can have someone else train you. I think Mickey's is loyal in that sense, that he's still going to be in his corner. Like, he'll call him a piece of shit. He'll say you should be pumping gas or you're better off carrying spit, but he's going to be with him no matter what.
Donald asked the question, is that when Mickey met Rocky, when he was a ninth grade pumping gas for a living? I don't think so. I think he was just making the analogy that because he called him a ninth grade pug. So I don't know if he meant you're a guy who boxes in the ninth grade or if there's a certain type of grade.
He said ninth rate.
Katie's right. Pug is something too that Mickey refers to his fighters. Pugs like us was treated like dogs. For $10, you had to tear somebody's throat out. New Jersey is one of two places in the United States where you have to have someone pump gas for you. Mm-hmm. You cannot pump your own gas. They're in parts of Oregon, too.
Well, it's called Full Serve. They're a full serve station.
Yeah, which I remember those as a kid, but you never see those anymore.
Donald says, good catch, Katie. Well, Katie's the best. She's the best. She's not a ham and egger. Me and Kyle myself were the ham and
egger. Katie's the best. We're just going to try and do our best, you know?
Got anything derogatory to say?
Yeah, she's the best. She's the best. It's great. We had a big discussion, but I think this fits because this will trigger the coma scene, the next sequence, and the coma scene will be it. That's going to be – guys, be prepared to talk for 2 hours on the coma. Our longest episode will be the coma scene. So that'll be the next episode in 2 weeks, but we'll stop it there.
Hey, Katie, you want to say hi to my dog? I have my dog here on my lap. Hey, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Is he a Shih Tzu? Is that
what?
Oh, my God. Cute. What's his name?
His name's Lou.
Lou. What a good name for a dog. Oh, my God. He's cute.
Lou is French for wolf. So it's kind of like a sarcastic name.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, my wife's French. It's spelled L-O-U-P. We took the P off, but yeah, he's a good boy. He's been sitting on my lap.
Oh, he is a nice, quiet boy.
Shih Tzus are like really good lap dogs. And then he's also 8 and a half, so he's kind of old. He just likes to hang
chill.
Out. Yeah, he's really chill. He's not chill if someone rings the doorbell, though.
You know, actually, the police told me the best security system is a dog barking.
I don't know if they do that where you live, but people will come door to door selling security systems here still.
Yes. Yes.
And if you mention that to them, I hate talking to them, but if you mention, oh, we have a dog, they'll be like, oh, usually they just kill the dog.
Which is true. It keeps me up at night. The thought that there would be I wouldn't be able to protect my dogs. Like, that's my biggest fear.
the dog's a good security system in the sense that if you're a burglar, you want like the easiest house you can get.
That so even though
you could go in and you could kill the dog, it's better not to do that. Like, it's because the dog can alert people. Like, just go to a different house. There's lots of houses to rob. My strategy
there's lots of houses to
is
rob.
Not having any possessions worth taking. They'll come in my house and they'll be like, oh, yeah, never mind. I don't want a bunch of like kid toys in this old TV. This shitty computer with the camera that that makes everything look red.
All right, you ready to lead us out?
Is that me?
It's Kyle, yep.
Okay, so here we go. I just Googled ninth rate boxer or pug. It has nothing to do with age. A ninth rate boxer is a term used to describe a boxer who is considered to be a very low skill level or ability. In boxing, fighters are typically ranked based on their performance and record, with the best boxers ranked at the top of the sport and the least skilled boxers ranked at the bottom. A ninth rate boxer would be considered to be near the bottom of his ranking system, indicating that they are not very skilled or successful in the sport of boxing. It is worth noting that this is a subjective term, and different people may have different opinions on what constitutes a ninth rate boxer.
Thank you for that.
I learned something new here. In my mind, it's always been ninth grade. It's kind of like how I had the number thing wrong until the podcast, too.
I don't know if the round 14 guys went in depth like we did regarding the films.
I doubt it.
But I doubt it too. But I'll just say, hey, that's what the one more round does, is we go in this kind of depth. This might be the biggest season we ever do. This Rocky II season is.
I don't think anybody other than you two thought that he said ninth grade.
You don't have to tear us down. We're already admitting that we're wrong.
You know what's an interesting difference between Canadians and Americans? Is you would never say ninth grade if you're Canadian.
That's for someone, grade nine.
Grade nine, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, speaking of instincts, I instinctively say this episode is over.
It's done. I didn't hear no bell.
So. Oh, boy.
You want to do like a recut? You could edit it out?
No.
Okay. I fucked up.
I just want to